What's going on, my beautiful people? We are here, another great day inside the Black Actor Studio. I'm your host, Danny Royce, and joining me today is a multi-talented actor, writer, producer, and entrepreneur. You've seen him recently in Blackish, The Last OG, opposite of Tracy Morgan, and many more. Don't move a muscle.
Tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, that's those keys start playing. What's up? We are inside the Black Actor Studio. Our guest today has made a name for himself here in Hollywood. One of young Hollywood's busiest stars, because he's everywhere, on the rise. Full-time writer on the hit star series Survivor's Remorse. You've seen him appearing in blockbusters like The Equalizer, Training Day, one of my favorites, Live Free or Die Hard. The Black Actor Studio is very proud to welcome Alan Maldonado.
I appreciate that.
What's good, man?
Thank you, man. Everything is good, man.
Good. Thanks for coming.
No problem. Thank you for having me,
man. Yeah, it was a pleasure. Yeah. And so how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing excellent, man. Yeah. Just a little tired.
Yeah.
A little tired. Being everywhere is exhausting.
Right.
But, I wouldn't change a thing.
Right. I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. So I want to start off right from the beginning and just say I love the work on Blackish.
Thank you, man. I'm very proud of what we've been able to accomplish
with that series,
man. Man, our fifth season.
Right. That's crazy. What's one of your favorite memories from that show, like, so far?
Wow, man. I just think the first season, the rap party, and just seeing everybody from Kenya down just being appreciative of what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of, at the forefront of, I guess, this new diversity wave of more Black shows on television.
Right.
Blackish was one of the first and few at that particular time. It was Blackish. It was Survivor's Remorse. And it was Carmichael's. It wasn't a lot of us on air.
And
to be able to get the notoriety and just the appreciation of what we were doing and was, incredible to me.
Mm-hmm.
As an actor, you find yourself in a position of you just want to have a job.
Yeah.
You just want to have a job. And then to have a job and then it be something as impactful as that show has grown to become, it's a blessing, man.
Yeah,
it's a blessing.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, congrats, and
thank
I'm looking
you,
forward to a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're still running. We're still running, right? Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're going to get back to some of your credits later on. But I like to start off every show with the beginning. Where were you born?
Ah, man, I was born in Bellflower, California, which is, a neighbor city to Compton, where I grew up till I was about nine. Until I was seven. Then I moved to Rialto. Which is, what I claim is my hometown.
Nice.
Being that I grew up there, I was molded there as a young man. A lot of the foundation of who I am, my work ethic is all built from Rialto, man.
So
that's what I represent everywhere I go.
Nice.
Rialto, yeah.
So being a California native, what do you feel about all these transplants and like so many people?
You know
covered?
What, man? I just hate the term. I'm a bit sensitive when people are like, people be acting Hollywood. Are these California people? And I be like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Take yourself south of the 10 and then come back with that assessment,
exactly,
man.
Yep.
A lot of people get, a lot of us Californians get a bad narrative, because of the implants.
They come in
with this false idea of what and how things function here in this Hollywood way, and they get that confused with what really happens in Los Angeles, from Compton to Rialto, to people, real people are real problems.
Right.
They're not really around these individuals to base that judgment on. So
I
definitely hear that a lot. And then people are always like, you don't seem like you're from California. I'm like, no, I am from California.
Right.
I'm the real California
exactly,
guy.
Exactly, yeah.
And you're just getting the real. You're not getting, everybody's, guesstimate of what a California native is. So. Right. So, yeah, I'm definitely a bit sensitive when I hear that. I'm like, oh, stop it.
Yeah, I know. I got quite a few California native friends, and yeah. they're amazing. Like,
yeah, it's
the people that come now.
You know, everybody got their, you know, false
everybody
pretenses.
Got their
yeah,
exactly.
pretenses, and like, eh, it is what it is.
So you were raised by your mother, right?
Yeah,
you
know, yeah,
single
yeah,
mother. You lost your father to cancer. Do you have like many memories of him, or is
My father? Yeah. No. I only knew my father for 2 weeks. When I was nine. I flew to New York and spent 2 weeks with him, and he passed the week after I got back.
Wow.
So, it was my mother. You know, mm-hmm. who I am is a direct response to my mother's, you know, upbringing. She was born in Alabama, came to California by herself, and raised 3 kids by herself. So everything that I do and the work that I put into everything that I do in all of my companies, it's to me is nothing in comparison to what she was able to do to raise 3 kids in a state by herself away from her family is, right. you know, more impossible than the things that I've been able to accomplish. So that's always my bar, you know, nice. As I don't have any kids yet. But, you know, to have that type of pressure
right.
and that type of life where you're on a tightrope with no, you know, safety net.
Right.
And to be able to not just be on that tightrope, but also carry 3 kids on your back is, you know, how I see what she was able to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's you know, the foundation of who I am is my mother.
Right. Yeah. I want to take a moment just to hats off for all the single mothers out there doing
definitely.
Their thing, because
definitely.
Without y'all, man.
It's real.
It is real, for sure. And so you are half Puerto Rican, half black, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Fellow Afro-Latino.
Oh,
We out here.
Boricua. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
So how was that for you? We're going to get into it a little bit more, but growing up, like identity-wise, you know what I mean? You go through that like, okay, I'm not black enough. I'm not, you know,
what's crazy? I never felt it on the black side, mm-hmm. I guess, just because that's all I grew up around.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I never really felt it on that side. Like I was always in. You know what I'm saying? And then I would go to New York in the summers and, you know, spend time with my family over there. It wasn't that I didn't fit in. It's just that I didn't know the culture.
Right.
And
right.
I was just slowly learning it. And I'm still learning mm-hmm. it as, you know, I was raised by my mother, who was black. So I always get the side eye from all my, you know, my Latino right. counterparts when they ask, "Are you don't speak Spanish?" And I'm like... And then I don't want to be to bring the party down.
Right. Because
they'd be like, "Yeah, you don't speak Spanish. Oh, my God. Like, what are you doing now?" And they'd be like, "Yo, my father passed when I was 7. Oh. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't want to just lead with that.
Yeah,
oh, well,
yeah,
the
yeah.
reason I don't speak Spanish is
right.
my father. You know, so, so yeah, like, that's always something. But through it all, I've never had an issue with identity at all, just because I've always been myself.
Nice.
I never really leaned on my ethnicity to define
right.
my personality.
I like that.
I mm-hmm. got along with everybody in high school. It didn't matter what you were, color,
nice.
You know,
yeah.
You know, where you were from the hood or from, you know, the suburbs. I got along with everybody.
Nice.
I never really... You know, got caught up in that.
Okay, that's dope. Did you have any nicknames growing up?
that's a
that
real
you can
one.
Say on
that's
air.
A,
no.
Yeah. I don't know if I can say all of them on air. Man, I had a man. I tell you one funny one, because I grew up in Rialto, the Vineyards, i.e., everybody know.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up around some gangbangers, drug dealers, and all that. And I grew up with Hoovers. With Hoovers, if anybody knows what that is. They're Crips. They're rather than that Crip. They're more Black Rad. But I don't even feel like getting dissecting all that. But it was dissecting the gang culture. That's not the question. But it's not the gang. That's not the question. But I grew up with the Grooves. And I used to have two long ponytails.
Yeah.
And they used to call me Ponytail Cuz. They're like, man, where Ponytail Cuz at? Man, to Ponytail Cuz, come here, man. Like, so I used to run around, run errands for them and do all type of stuff as a little homie. But, but yeah, Ponytail Cuz was one of them.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
I can see that. You know, yeah, we got some photos of you and your cuz.
That's Ponytail Cuz right there. That's Al Wiz. I got several names.
Several names.
They're going to be in the comments heavy right now.
Right, for sure.
I'm going to let them do that.
Right. Let them take care.
Yeah, I'm going to let them do that. I'm going to let them take care of that.
So you mentioned a little bit about in school. So were you pretty much like, you know, you got along with everybody and all that? Did you get into any acting, show choir, any musicals then? Or was it more so after?
Man, I played basketball in high school. And that's where I got my work ethic, because I'd be the first one to tell everybody. When I played basketball, I sucked, man. Mm. I was my freshman year. I got cut. Like, 10th grade year, I came back. And I made the team. But what was hilarious is that my coach Sipe, rest in peace, he came up to me after I made the team. And he was like, hey, Allen, man, you know, you suck. I said, okay.
Damn.
I said, I appreciate that. Wow. Great confidence builder. That's what a coach is here for. But he was like, yo, he said, the reason you make the team is that you make everybody around you work harder. Mm. And, you know, at the time, I didn't really get that. Mm. I just was like, that's all I had was effort, you know.
Right.
And through time, I got better, and I ended up being one of the best shooters on the team. Broke the school record at one point. Shout out to Montrell, because he broke my record like 2 weeks afterward. I broke the school record. I had 7 threes in one game. I think he did 8.
Wow.
But yeah, like it was that, and you know, because I wasn't naturally gifted at that, but I worked my butt off to be better at it. And it was my senior year in high school that I found I needed an elective, and I was just like, I'm gonna just take acting. You know, it's something that I could do to be easy.
Yeah.
Senior year, I'm not trying to work too hard.
Right.
So I get in there, and it was like a fish to water. Like everything spoke to me. It energized me. I began, you know, writing and doing different skits, and I like wrote like. We have our, like, it was like an improv or showcase, and it was, had about like 19 skits, and I wrote like 15 out of the 19, and it just was the natural fit. So I slowly began to transition that energy from basketball to acting, and that's what really sparked everything was my senior year in high school.
Oh, okay. I mean, not just basketball, but you also picked up boxing?
That was after. Boxing was after, man. I was doing everything in high school. I was in the salsa club.
There you go.
Yeah, I was prom king. Hey. Like, I was heavily involved in a lot. I love school, man. Uh-huh. I love school. Because I was almost like an only child. I had two older sisters, but they were a lot older than me.
Gotcha.
So by the time I was 13, my sisters were both out of the house. So it was just me. So it was like either be at the house by myself or be at school with a crowd that I could entertain and have fun with and just, you know, enjoy life.
Exactly.
Like, I love school. So I was involved with a lot of stuff. But boxing didn't come to years later.
Okay.
Maybe like that was like 7 years ago. I always had an infatuation with boxing, but I never, you know, pursued the ability of boxing.
Right.
Until, you know, I think it was like 7 years ago.
I just
really fell in love with training and getting better. And it's a workout that, you know, when you lift weights, you don't get better at lifting weights.
Yeah.
It's just the form. You can't really see any growth other than your physical.
Right.
But in boxing, you can see your physical growth and also your ability. Like,
right.
You can go from day one to, you know, day 300, and you're like, oh, wow, I'm actually learning the skills.
Yeah.
So that's what's also great about boxing along with it's a great workout.
Yeah, I love boxing, too. And I've seen you duking on IG.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love
nice.
It. Sparring and all that, man. I love to get in there, man.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Well, growing up or, you know, when you got into acting, did you who inspired you on the television screen? Like, what
Will
shows
Smith.
Did you watch?
Will Smith.
Will Smith,
Will Smith, hands down, man. Will Smith, I remember reading his biography at the time. And from, like, cover to cover, like, I never read a book with that much intent.
Right.
Yeah. Will Smith was, you know, Definitely my inspiration early on, just what he was able to do, the way he carried himself. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, he was the top of the game. He was right. The biggest movie star in the world. Yeah. But just the way he did it, he did it in a fun, cool way. Like, you know, as we see more and more of him on IG, it just mm-hmm. confirms.
Right.
It just confirms how this, you know, this individual is just, he's special. And he's just fun to be around. Like, he's just like, he's just fun to be around.
Yeah,
just
from
from what you see on IG and just what you've witnessed through his entire career.
Right.
He just seems like it's a good person. I've never met him, but it just seemed like a good person. That was the main person that inspired me early on.
Okay. And what about like any TV shows, any black shows out there that was in?
Martin, for sure.
Martin
is by far, but hands down, my favorite comedian of all time, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I got to, meet him at Tracy's, when they gave Tracy his star on the Walk of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to sit behind him and Tracy, and it was just, it was profound, just because me and Tracy have conversations about him and Martin's relationship and how it, you know, basically is full circle with me and him. Like, Martin took him under his wing, and Tracy's taking me under his wing.
Okay.
And he says it all the time, and I remind him so much of Martin, just the energy that I bring and everything. And I think that's just the biggest compliment that I can get
from
dope. Tracy.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's an awesome compliment.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
So I want to go into like one of your first like really great bookings on Young and the Restless.
Yeah.
The recurring role. How was that for you when you found out you booked it, and what did you do to prepare for that role?
Wow, man. First off, rest in peace, Christoph, man. Just an incredible individual, an incredible man. Just very sad, you know, when I heard of his passing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he was another person that really looked out for me when I got on Young and the Restless, man.
Right.
You know, it wasn't too many of us on there.
No.
And it was really cool of him embracing me. Because I'm fresh out the hood.
Yeah.
Wowzers. Fresh out the hood, not refined at all.
Jagged.
Get toe straight from the block.
There you go.
Straight from the block, man. I was rough around the edges, to say the least, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the story. I'll go into the prepare for the role, but I just remember it was just to let you know where I was at,
uh-huh.
the level of ghetto where I was at. I remember it was a Christmas party. It was a formal Christmas party.
Oh God.
Formal Christmas party. And the whole time, you know, the people around me like, yo, you got to go in a suit. And I'm like, nah, man, I don't do suits, man. From the block, I'm coming up there. I'm keeping it real.
Right.
I'm keeping it real, man. Like, I'm coming up there with my Timbs on. I got my jeans. I got the leather Avrex. Yo, I spent $800 on this leather.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm about to bust this. It's about to go out.
Yeah.
Man, I pull up to the event. I'm sticking out like a sore thumb. I can see all the black people in there like, oh.
I can't imagine.
All the black people put their hands in. I'm like, oh. And I'm wearing it with confidence, and I'm still walking around, everybody looking like, who the heck
is
this dude with the leather jacket on?
Man.
And I just remember, you know, shout out to Shamar. I just remember hitting the corner, and Shamar Moore's like, yo, like, arms wide, yo. I'm loving it. Like, yo, he was going crazy over the outfit.
Nice.
Me wearing this leather jacket, man. And then fast forward, this is a full kind of story to it all. Like, I know I'm missing the question, but at the end of my stint, because the reason I ended on Young and the Restless was I got in a car accident.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'll dig into the car accident in a second.
Yeah.
But and part of my recovery, I was able to go to the next year's Christmas party. It was a formal again.
Yep.
I learned my lesson. I got a cane because I broke my leg in the car accident. So I got a cane. I got my suit on, and I'm there, and I'm like, still ghetto.
Uh-huh.
Still, I had like a whole like, what is it? The hors d'oeuvre tray.
Oh, the hors d'oeuvre tray. Yeah, yeah.
I just had one. I just had the whole plate.
Oh,
I just
my
had
God.
I said, just give me the whole plate.
Just eating off
it. Yeah, this whole plate. It was some coconut shrimp. Oh, my God. It was some giant coconut shrimp. I was tearing up. I was like, nah, just leave the whole. Just leave the whole. They're like, what? No, just give me some. Tray. I was wilding.
Funny.
So I'm in there eating off the tray. Shamar Moore hits the corner. Guess what he got on?
He got
the full leather jacket on. He's like, yo, what are you doing? Like, what happened? I was like, yo. So it was love, man. It was
that's
love the, on Young
good.
And the Restless, man.
That's
but
dope.
But preparing for this before, but preparing for the audition was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
As I like to, you know, I consider myself an actor's actor. I know a lot of people are seeing me with the comedy stuff as of late, but you know, the first 10 years of my career was all dramatic,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, crying. You know, the whole heavy work.
Uh-huh.
I definitely, you know, wear that as a badge of honor. The acting chops that I was able to possess, to be able to groom during mm-hmm. that time. So, you know, when it came to the screen test, like, I went in there guns blazing. I gave it my all. And I had an, you know, incredible performance at the screen test where
mm-hmm.
They call him Bob, but Bob is like one of the heads over there. He comes out of the back room and everybody's frozen. They like they saw a ghost. Again,
mm-hmm.
I'm oblivious to all of this.
Right.
And he come, I'm like, yo, what's up, man? He like, yo, I just want to let you know that was incredible. I think you're, you know, incredibly talented. I had to come out here and meet you myself.
Nice.
Again, I'm yeah, all right, cool,
right.
Yeah. So like, I'm walking off. People are like, yo, you know that boy? Like, he never comes out the room. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay.
Nice.
I get a call from my manager. Shout out to the prayers, Robert. He's been my manager since I was 17.
Nice.
He was like, yo, you didn't get the part. I said, what do you mean? Like, the dude came out the back. Like,
right.
He don't never come out the back. I'm over there repeating it like I know the context of it all. He don't never come out the back. Like, what you
right.
mean? He like, nah, but he said, but Bob created a role for you.
Nice.
He created a role. He's like, he's only guaranteeing you 3 episodes, but he created a role for you. And I was like, wow.
That's
I didn't even know
dope.
That was a possibility.
Right.
That 3 turned into 17, and
uh-huh.
the only reason I ended, you know, the reason I ended my Young and the Restless stint was I was hit by a drunk driver.
Right. So I want to definitely get into that. But
yeah.
first,
yeah.
as far as like comedy and drama, right? Because
yeah.
there's some actors right now, they're like, oh, I'm only drama. I'm a dramatic actor.
Right.
How important is it to you that actors get that experience of improv, get that experience of comedy?
I just think it's to everybody's strength,
mm-hmm.
man. I refer everything back to basketball. That was my first love. Like, you know, there's certain players that are just great shooters. There's
yeah.
certain players that are good at the post. There's certain players that are great rebounders. There's certain players that are great, you know, passing the ball.
Right,
but then
right.
there's certain players that are just great all the way, all around. I urge for every actor to be as well-rounded as possible. But at the end of the day, you know, Ray Allen is still in the Hall of Fame for shooting threes.
Right. Yeah.
you know,
right.
You know what I'm saying? He
yeah.
figured out what he was great at
right.
and honed in on that and became a star from that. Like,
for sure.
I never will criticize anybody for, you know, sticking to their strengths and being able to, you know, grow in that space.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's ludicrous to think if anybody any less of an entertainer,
right?
You know, being that, oh yeah, he can only play one instrument, like,
uh-huh.
well, but if he can play it.
Yeah.
Good, but if he's great at
right.
it, what's the problem?
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
So I mean, again, you definitely want to, you know, as to, you know, in the art form of it all,
yeah.
be able to do as much as you can, but
sure.
at the end of the day, man, focus on your strengths and really and build around that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, figure out a way how to be great and, you know, again, be if you're a shooter, you know, find your place in the game and
right.
be great at it and make your mark.
Okay, I like
know?
That. Yeah, for
no.
sure. And you say you're with your manager for since you were 17.
Yeah, 17,
so
brother.
What's what kind of, you know, hone that relationship for
yeah.
so long, you know, because, like, you know,
yeah.
a lot of actors go from different representations.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
something, give us some, like, tips that you guys
I mean, it's got to be a partnership, man. Yeah. My manager is, you know, he's helped me grow as a man,
nice.
And grow as a businessman. Just allowing me, you know, early on, it was him, you know, really taking the lead on a lot of things, and it's slowly transitioned as he's, you know, in watching him, I've learned how this business operates, and. You know, being the person of celebrity, I have a little more power in certain arenas than
right.
he does.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a partnership where there's certain arenas where he, you know, he'll take the lead. And there's certain arenas where, because of my celebrity, I know different individuals that he may not know. So mm-hmm. it's a partnership. Through it all, I guess my biggest advice is, you know, having somebody that believe in you and that you can trust. And that isn't afraid of working their butt off. Like, we built this together. Like,
right.
there's, you know, this is a marathon, you know, RIP, Nipsey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is a marathon, and you gotta find a good running mate that can stand the course.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because you got a lot of people that just are in love with you for the moment. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in love with you for the moment.
Right.
And then as soon as you're not at full stride,
uh-huh.
they're not at full stride.
Exactly.
Where it should be a tip of tat. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
where I'm
sure.
when I'm running ahead, he's letting me go, and then when I'm, you know, slowing, he's going. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a partnership. So it's just like a marriage.
Yeah,
it's
right.
it's just like
it really
a marriage.
Is.
You got to find somebody. You got to, you know, it takes years, you know, to, you know, develop a great relationship
sure,
with your
sure.
team. But once you find that one person, or once you find that individual that you know speaks your language, then you know hold on to them tight.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So the accident, man, like that. So you know people go through tragedies and
yeah.
it sets them back a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
they totally give up. So
yeah.
you seem to be like it set you back, obviously, but you came full throttle. Like you just kept
man.
Going, which is amazing. So talk to us a little bit about like how it was right after, what happened,
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess for the people that don't know, like I was hit by a drunk driver walking. I was hit by a BMW Roadster going 65 miles per hour. I flew in the air, landed on my face, broke my right leg, my spine was curved, my neck was like it straightened. It straightened like it's your neck is supposed to curve.
Right, right.
And it went straight. So so that again, that ended my stint on Young and the Restless, and recovery was intense. You know, recovery was I had to sleep with a pillow with a hole in it for like
mm-hmm.
a year. There was a lot of chiropractic stretches, and I was at the chiropractor basically every week,
yeah.
two or three times a day. You know, my right leg was broke, so that limited me, and my face was distorted,
mm-hmm.
It was a blessing that I needed plastic surgery or anything like that. Shout out to my doctors. They stitched me up and
right, right.
it all came back. But my face,
right.
it took, I think, 6 months
really
to get a full recovery. But
uh-huh.
Definitely my testimony to God is that the week that I was clear to audition, I booked 3 TV shows in 1 week.
Mm.
And
come on.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that was just confirmation. That I was, you know, going in the right direction. But that whole accident was, you know, it was meant to be.
Yeah.
I always had I guess my position on it was, it was meant to be. I was never even mad at the person that hit me.
Mm-hmm.
I was only upset when we went to court that he didn't apologize. That was the only thing.
Wow.
It wasn't a thing of, why'd you do this or you did this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
it was, no, I accepted that. Like, this was my obstacle. This was my cross to bear,
right.
so to speak. And I was up for the challenge. And it brought me a profound peace, meaning that I literally know that nothing, they hear it all the time, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Yeah.
You know, I know that. Like, mm-hmm. nothing on this earth shall kill me. It's my time to go.
Right, for sure. for sure.
Some people trip, hit their head, and they gone.
Yeah.
Like, I was hit 60,
man.
Scientifically, I'm not supposed to be
right.
here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So with that being said, it gives you, it gave me a greater sense of fearlessness on anything that I want to do. Like, it's all about me meeting up with my blessings. The more blessings I want, it all depends on the work ethic. It all depends on how fast and how hard I want to reach these blessings.
Right.
Everything that I'm doing, everything that I'm receiving, all of the success, all of the opportunities, they've already been sent out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's on me to go meet up with them. Exactly. And with that being said, and with me knowing that wholeheartedly, is why I'm obsessed with success. Every day I'm like, how can I get meet up with these blessings? Because I know it to be true. And if you know it to be true, you know if you do something, you're going to feed your beast.
Exactly, yeah.
You're going to do that. Feed your addiction, rather.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You're going to continue doing it. So people always wonder, like, what gets you up and what motivates you? Like, how can you, where do you get all the energy from? And I'm like, because I know it to be true.
Yeah.
I know it to be true. I know that God has put down all these blessings for anybody, for mm-hmm. everyone, you know. But it's up to you to get up.
To get them.
And yeah. go get them.
Yeah.
Go get them. It's up to you. And how fast you get them. If you want to walk to it, you may get to 1, 2, 3
in your lifetime. Yeah, maybe, right? Yeah.
Well, me, it's never a thing of how great can you be. You know, it's never a thing of if you're great.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how great can you be?
Yeah.
So if you walk and I meet up with 3 blessings, okay, if I run, I may meet up with 10. Now, right. what if I build a car?
Yeah.
And I just start going 65 down this thing. How many blessings? And that's my mentality.
That's dope.
That's
like
my
that.
Mentality.
I like that for sure.
Thank you.
I just want to take a moment to just thank you again for being
no
here.
Problem. No
and,
problem.
And thank you to Black Hollywood Live and AfterBuzz TV for allowing us to be here inside the Black Actors Studio. Thank you all for watching right now. If you're watching live stream, thank you for tuning in. And so I want to get into a couple more of your credits. You know, Last OG, obviously working with Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
What's one of the biggest inspirations or moments that you've had from him working with him?
Wow, several. I guess the first one would be that I remember the first season that we were shooting in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
That's his hometown. That's, you know, where he planted his roots and, you know, what he believes in and all the community work that he does. While we were out shooting, I saw 3 people cry.
Mm.
I saw 3 people cry and, you know, in talking to him and just of their love for him and how he was able to recover from his accident. And that's something that we share,
you share
and we
right.
were able to relate. And just how impactful we are as entertainers to people,
mm-hmm.
And the power that we possess. You know, making people, having the ability to make people laugh is a gift.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, people around the world really need. Especially with the world as the way it is and the dark times, you just want to laugh sometimes. And Tracy has been, you know, a staple for Brooklyn and for these individuals walking up to him and just so appreciative of him being alive and being able to do what he's always done and continue to make people laugh was impactful to me. It's like, wow, it was just a live representation of what we are and what we represent as entertainers
right.
to the world.
That's
so, yeah, that was incredible.
Nice. And so what's tell us a little bit about your character,
mm-hmm.
And something that you've done offset to prepare and onset.
Oh, man, Cousin Bobby is built off of all those years I spent in Harlem, Wagner Projects, what up? you know, with my cousins, all of my Puerto Rican cousins, and just MEN, all of them cats out there in Harlem, man, that I just grew up with. And
right.
Cousin Bobby is a mixture of a lot of individuals and just the life and energy that Harlem once possessed,
oh,
man.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
I went to my, you know, I went to Wagner the other day. It's just not the same, you know. Gentrification is real.
Yeah.
And there's the pros and cons to it, you know.
For
the neighborhood is getting nicer. It's getting more expensive, too.
Yeah.
It's pushing a lot of the community and just the blood and the life out of it.
Out of it, like, yeah.
It's not the same. And then I just remember the fun energy, just the liveness of
mm-hmm.
Harlem growing up. And that's what Cousin Bobby possesses, is a lot of those, you know, characteristics from those individuals. The green hair was, you know, definitely something I came in with. I literally showed up. I literally showed up with green hair.
Oh, really?
just because I was adamant on how I saw this character.
Uh-huh.
That I wasn't even gonna. I didn't even ask because like, I knew if I asked, they would have told me no.
Right.
Because they didn't really see it. It's just because I wanted to be able to bridge the gap between, you know, Tracy's situation. He's been gone for 15 years, right. And me being, you know, the younger version of him, rather, being in the middle of, you know, his generation and the millennials and just all of that. And it's the gentrification of it all, where he's a dude from the streets, but the dudes from the streets aren't the same as they were 20 years ago.
Right.
So that's where, in part, why, you know, the hair is green, along with, I definitely, not to say I fought, but I requested to have my brother Clyde's name as a neck tattoo. All of these things are things that I came in with, and the idea of how I saw Cousin Bobby. So it was really, really in depth as far as how I wanted visually, even to the haircut. The haircut is specific.
Right.
Again, it has an old school vibe to it. It's a W.
It's a W.
But it was old school vibe with the name, but it's new. Like, it was, everything is very specific. If you really watch, you know, and that's what I'm very proud. That's where the actor in me. Like, I'm very into detail, so that's what I wanted to add to Cousin Bobby.
Okay. Also, just other actors, you know, owning your character.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about, like, just owning your character and becoming your character on and off set?
I'm a little confused on what you mean, owning your character.
Oh, like, you know, just... because you know, people look at their character and they're like, okay, they judge their character sometimes, or they feel like they, you know, have a bar to reach. But you said you brought all these specific things to it,
right? Right.
So, what made you think that, okay, I have the freedom to do this? Is what I mean. Because some people
you gotta be an artist.
Yeah.
You gotta always be an artist. And as an actor, you should be already conditioned to hear no. meaning that you should be fearless of it.
Yeah.
You know, so you should be fearless. To all my actors out there that have heard no 1,000 times, if you're hearing this, you're still alive and well. It didn't kill you.
Right.
So why be afraid of something that can't harm you?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So as an artist, you come in with everything you want to bring in. And then it's a partnership. It's a collaboration. So you may not get everything that you request, but you may get something that you may surprise yourself.
Right.
But you can't make any shots you don't take. So yeah. I could go down countless analogies, you know, but at the end of the day, be fearless. Be fearless. Go in there as an artist. They hired you as an actor. They hired you for your ability and your talent and your vision, you know, because when you take on these roles and you take on the script that another writer brung in, and usually they're collaborating with the showrunner, they're collaborating with the creator. So it's all a collaborative situation. So when it comes to it, when it finally lands into the actor's lap, it's your job. It's your job now to collaborate.
Right.
So
right.
It's not. It shouldn't be a dictatorship. It shouldn't be a thing of you do this exactly. No, that's why you hire me as an actor, to bring my artistic ability to this page.
For sure.
I always use the example of Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
You give Jim Carrey an area and let him do his magic.
Right.
Like, you let him do his magic. You can't go in there and be like, Jim Carrey, we need you to do it this way.
Nah, it ain't gonna work.
Nah, because you're not gonna get the magic. You're not gonna get the real artist that you hired.
Right.
So I always urge actors to always inject their artistry and be fearless with that. Again, all you're gonna get is no.
Yeah.
And then most of the times they're gonna say, hey, let's do it exactly on a page. And then give you another one where you can do whatever you want.
Right.
That's a collaboration. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's a collaboration.
Nice.
So, and a lot of times they'll like what you did differently, or they don't.
Yeah.
Either way, you're doing your work. You know what I'm saying? You fought for yourself. You fought for your artistry. So that's my advice to all actors.
Dope. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you got a lot of other stuff going on, you know, outside of obviously just acting and writing.
Yeah.
And so you're, you know, get the Get It Done Records. Are you in
Yeah, Get It Done Records. We're doing
industry.
Yeah. It's a TV and film placement company. Yeah. I've been doing it for 8 years. I got music in over 50 networks around the world, from House of Lies, Ray Donovan, to NBA TV. We're all over. First Thing First on the ESPN. Uh-huh. Next Top Model in Australia. The Voice in Next Top Model in New Zealand, and The Voice in Australia, to big deals in all the Asian continents.
Nice. Do you always have like a love for music?
Yeah. I used to do music really, really heavy about 6-7 years ago, man. Like I personally have 300 songs in our catalog.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So yeah, so nice. It's we got over 20 producers. We're constantly getting placements every day. We're always looking for new artists, so shout out to anybody that's interested in doing music for TV and getting placements on, films. Reach out. Go to getitdonerecords.com.
Get it done.
Check us out, man, and let's collaborate. Let's partner up, man.
For sure.
Definitely.
What's your give us a little, your thoughts on the recent passing of Nipsey and how he affected your life.
Wow, man. It's just a sad day in the world where individual, because it's bigger than just music. Music is where everybody can just identify him quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But when you dig deeper, you see a person that was about the community, that was about family, and was just a great person. So it's sad when a person of his stature and just getting all this attention. We're not mourning because of the music. We're mourning of the individual and how impactful he was as a person.
Right.
And I think that's what translates to a lot of people that may not even have listened to his music and just discovered the things that he has done in his life, why everybody is so affected by this man. And as a person that is, again, from the hood, from that have, quote-unquote made it out, and I still work with the community. I have my kids' foundation, Demo Nerds. We work largely with Watts and Compton and downtown Los Angeles with foster kids and at-risk youth. It's definitely an eye-opener that we need to do more.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do more in our communities where an individual wouldn't feel the need to act in a way to, kill a person that is helping the community.
Right.
You know, that's the biggest message.
There's
a bigger message, not to deter you from helping the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's to open up our eyes even more to, like, we need to put more attention into the community, because there's individuals that, always say, I was saying to my team the other day, a hungry mouth would do irrational things.
Oh, yeah.
It would do irrational things. You know what I'm saying? So the more work that we can do in this community, the more work that we can do in these communities, that will further prevent this from happening. And I just hope that's the bigger message, and it doesn't discourage individuals like us, celebrities, to not be involved because you think something's going to happen.
Right.
That's something that, we really should hone in on. It's like, we need to do more in these communities.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned a little bit about Demo Nerds.
When
did you start that?
Wow, man, it's almost, we just had our 5-year anniversary.
Nice.
which we've been doing it for 7 years, but I want to keep the five. I want to do five. I just didn't want to skip five.
Nice.
But it's been
That's
something
incredible
that,
way to give back too.
It's just something that I would say this, my career began to take off once I started that program.
Mm.
So, you hear the phrase, when you give back, you receive more. Again, these are things that I know.
Yeah.
These are things that I know. These are things that I've experienced to be true. And when you give more, you're able to receive more.
For
you
sure.
empty your cup to fill it up even more. So that's, a large in part of my success is due to, the work that I continue to do with these kids.
And then Only Son Productions.
Yeah, Only Son Productions, man.
Touch a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's my writing and production company. We're doing a lot of a lot of cool things. I got a lot of deals on the table right now that we're working out and developing, you know, everything from cartoons to features to TV shows to game shows. I got a lot of stuff bubbling on in. I got a lot of things that I can't really speak on yet.
Yeah, for sure.
But in the next year, it's going to be like back to back.
Well, we're going to have to have you back on.
So we can talk about some more of that.
On the bigger platform. Dope. Yeah. And then there was the Vineyard's Finest. Do you still do like
the T-shirt? Yeah, that's my T-shirt. It's my brand. It's more of my brand. It's named after the neighborhood that I grew up in, and it's to represent, again, you know, rising from the ashes, being a phoenix in your community. Being a phoenix in your community, that's what the brand represents. And we just recently collaborated with TBS.
Nice.
We did the Cousin Bobby Bombers.
Uh-huh.
They're the pink bombers. You can go on TBS.com. Portions of the proceeds goes towards my kids' foundation, along with everything on vineyardsfinest.com. The proceeds go towards the Kids Foundation.
Dope.
So that's something that I want to continue to build, and they pull in. They're going to Cousin Bobby Bombers. There they go. We're looking to collaborate with more companies. I got some big deals with that coming down the pipe with some very cool clothing companies and some big brands that everybody enjoys that we're going to be collaborating with.
Nice. Yeah. A lot of great stuff coming your
Thank
way, mate.
Thank you, man.
A lot of blessings. Yeah. Just continue to, you know, give out. You're doing awesome.
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and then I got just like a couple from online.
Okay. Okay, cool.
So what's one of your favorite words?
It's a curse word. I can't. Can I say it? Can I say it? No, I can't say it. Right?
So give us the first letter.
Man. That all five of them are probably all curse words.
like the first two letters.
The first.
And then we can guess it.
I would say MF is. MF is probably top.
Okay. Every time I think of Bernie Mac when I hear him,
Bernie Mac. everybody out there, if you want to learn how to curse properly,
right.
Watch Harlem Nights.
Yes,
that is a tutorial.
Yeah.
On how to curse. Learn from the best, you know.
Harlem Nights is a classic.
Yeah, Harlem Nights is the classic tutorial on how to curse. Yes.
No, what's your least favorite word?
Man, I guess no. No, I don't like no.
You don't like no, okay.
I don't like no.
What's a sound or noise that you love?
Kids laughing.
Nice.
Kids laughing.
How about a sound or noise that you hate?
Kids crying.
I was thinking it's probably gonna cry. You're doing a lot, but if you weren't doing what you're doing now, what would you be doing?
Oh man, if I wasn't doing it's crazy. I'd be a stripper. That's crazy. I know it. Hoping they left field. I was a dancer early. During my teen as a teenager, right. I was a dancer. This is a fun fact. I used to dance on Soul Train when I was 16.
Real? Wow.
Yeah, shout out to Afion.
There we go.
We was on there together. Afion Crockett, that's my dude.
Do you watch the series now?
I haven't watched it yet. I gotta check it out. But that was like the series is way before when I was on there. But even my mama know. Like I was in the gym, I was like, yo, if this acting thing don't work out. And everybody that know, I was going to be at Right Track. I was going to be at Right Track stripping. I was going to get that money you're talking about.
Well, good thing that it did work out because it affected a lot more lives, I'm sure.
Just in case. Hey, let it all fall off tomorrow.
Right.
Catch me at the strip club. Going up.
Going up.
Bring your ones. Right.
So what profession would you absolutely not do?
Politics.
Mm.
Politics, I hear you on that. Tough, man.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, I hear you on
that. Tough, man. That's tough, man. It's a lot of life I want to live, man. Politics is tough, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so one from online, if you were given a piece of advice, if you wish you were given one piece of advice before pursuing acting, what would it be?
Wow. That would be approach everything as a business.
Mm.
Think of yourself as a business. This is not a acting career. I repeat, this is not an acting career. this is starting a small business.
Yeah.
This is starting a small business. My career turned around when I took, you know, that motto and applied it to my acting career. Like, I am a product. Mm-hmm. I am a company. And it is my job as the president and CEO to create a brand, create a plan, create an idea of where I want my product to go, the direction, the evolution of it all. All these things are done by me. Mm-hmm. And then I have to build my team. I have to build my vice president, is that's my manager.
Right.
He, you know, my sales team, that's my agents. Mm-hmm. They go out and sell the product.
Right.
My marketing, that's my PR. Uh-huh. My legal, that's my lawyer. All of these things in any business, these individuals don't dictate the product. Mm. The president and CEO does.
Yeah.
So they deliver the product to their team, and their team do the work. Mm. Their job. So a lot of actors get lost in, you know, their agents being out of position. You know, meaning that they put their agents as a CEO,
yeah,
and they're doing all of the work, which is, you know, a lot to, you know, it's one of those things, you hear the phrase, you know, you can't, your right hand, you can't expect your right hand to do with the job of the foot. Mm-hmm. Or the brain, or et cetera. Like, they're built for a certain thing.
Right.
And you take them out of their natural position, now you're asking, you know, now you're going to be disappointed.
Exactly.
You know, but if you allow them to just do their job, mm-hmm. you give them a product, this is where we're going. This is our target demographic, actually.
Hmm.
You know, do what you do best. Go sell, go get me in the room, go get me in these auditions. You allow them to be more efficient than having to be like, okay, on top of me having to try to find and find you auditions, let's figure out what are we doing with your career.
Right.
How, let's do my headshot. Like, that's not their job.
Yeah,
that's not the job. That's your job as a CEO. So approach everything as a small business, and your life will change, I promise.
That's awesome.
Thank you, brother.
Piece of advice for sure.
Thank you.
And so last but not least, in Heaven's Exist, what would you like God to say to you when you get there?
Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. That's what I want to hear.
There you go. There you go.
Yes.
All right, nice. Well, that wraps up today. Thank you so much
for
being here.
Thank you, man. It was a great conversation.
Yes,
thank
likewise.
You.
Thank you so much. Go ahead and tell everyone where to find you, social media,
yes,
all that.
Yes, please, everybody go to MaldonadoIsEverywhere.com. You can find everything that I'm doing, from the companies, Everybody Digital. Please go download that my short film app. It's free.
Yes.
You can find me at Maldonado is everywhere on all of your social media platforms, man.
There Peace. You go, bro. And thank you so much, everyone, for watching. I'm your boy, Danny Royce. You can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. We'll see you next week. Same place, same time here inside the Black Actors Studio. Bye-bye, guys.
Boom, boom.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
Necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.